If you were a practicing Jewish person in first century Palestine, you knew that you needed to stay away from two groups of people, the lepers and the Samaritans. Now, this was not because you were a bigot, but rather it was simply because you knew that lepers had to live far away from the rest of society so as to not spread the disease. Remember, they didn't have modern medicine as we have today. Lepers were sadly also considered to be ritually impure, so they were not able to participate in Jewish communal worship at that time. And if you touched a leper, even if you were considered clean, all of a sudden now you too would be considered unclean and separated from Jewish worship. Even more, Samaritans and the Jews did not mix. The Samaritans were those of Jewish descent who had intermarried with foreigners, with idol worshipers. And so they made themselves and anyone who came into their presence and touched them ritually clean, unclean as well. Now, before we judge Jesus's Jewish contemporaries using our modern notions of tolerance, we should just keep in mind that we are far removed from the complex social and political considerations that underlied the Old Covenant law. But that being said, Jesus' actions in our gospel today are nothing short of revolutionary, above all because they reveal to us that he is the Savior of all nations. So to begin, we hear that Jesus travels through Samaria on his way to Jerusalem. Now, that was not the shortest route. And even more, an observant Jew such as Jesus would not have gone through Samaria if he could help it. Most would have stayed clear of the territory of the unclean foreigners. But we hear that's not what Jesus did. In fact, it seems as if he is intentionally going through this land of foreigners on his way. Jesus knows exactly what he is about to do. And sadly, he knows exactly how others will respond to his actions as well. So next we hear, on his way, Jesus encounters 10 lepers. Remember, they weren't allowed to even come near anyone who was considered clean. And so while he is at a distance, they have to cry out to him. And the words that they use in the Greek original text are very similar to the Greek that we use very often at the beginning of Mass, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy on us. But Jesus doesn't drive them away, he doesn't avoid them, but rather he simply tells them to show themselves to the priests. That's exactly what anyone had to do if they thought perhaps they were being cured of their leprosy. So the 10 lepers obey Jesus and they head off to show themselves to the priests. It's very important to realize at this point, they had not been cleansed. They didn't protest. They didn't say, no, you must heal us now. Rather, they stepped forward in faith. And sure enough, as they are going, they realize that they are cleansed. It's very important to recognize that very often, we have to step forward in faith to give God the opportunity in our lives to reveal to us his power, especially his healing. And so for this kind of faith, all 10 of the lepers should be commended. But sadly, we also hear that things go downhill at that point. All 10 lepers are cleansed of their leprosy, but we hear only one returns to give thanks to God. Now that detail too is also very important because the 10 lepers originally refer to Jesus as Kurios, as master. But now we hear that the one leper who returns calls him God. We recognize here that he's beginning to understand perhaps Jesus is more than just a master. And we see this also in his posture. In our first reading today, we hear of how another foreigner, Naaman, stands before the prophet Elisha, thanking him as he is healed of his leprosy. But now this foreigner in our gospel today falls down before Jesus' feet. This is something that you do before someone who is divine. So he's realized something that the rest of Jesus' countrymen, or at least most of them, did not realize. Jesus is not just a master. He's not just a prophet. But he is indeed Emmanuel, God with us. And it's because of his faith, the gospel says, the Samaritan is saved. Now that too is another very important detail. It says that the other 9 lepers were cleansed, but this Samaritan who gave thanks is saved. The change in words is unmistakable here, because not only does Jesus have the power to heal, to cleanse the people, the lepers, of their leprosy, but even more importantly, above all, he has the power to save us from our sins. And that fact alone is revolutionary, because remember, only God can forgive and save from sins. But even more, he's saving a Samaritan. He's saving someone who it was considered to be outside of God's chosen people. He's saving a Gentile. And that, at that time, was, as I said, revolutionary. And it's showing that Jesus is not only going to be the Messiah, the Savior of the Jews, but of all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. And that's why the very first Christians called this salvation the good news, the gospel, because it's intended for all people who come to Jesus in faith. But let's return to a moment to the critical point in our gospel where the Samaritan returns to thank Jesus and apply this to our lives today. The Greek word, again, for the Samaritan's giving thanks is eucharistone. Now that should be familiar to us, right? Each and every time we come to Mass to celebrate the Holy Eucharist, we gather to, above all, give thanks to God for the gift of his Son, Jesus, and salvation. This is the very first and primary duty of our lives. We hear this so beautifully in the just before the Eucharistic prayer in what's called the preface. The words might be a little different, but they're basically all the same theme. It is our right, it is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father. We neglect this duty at our own peril. And so our gospel today is challenging us to ask ourselves, are we more like the 9 unthankful lepers who treat the Eucharist as perhaps an obligation or just something that we may fit into our schedule when it works out for us, so we say, as if what we have, our life, is our own, realizing that all life, everything that we have, is a gift from God? Do we leave Mass early without a good reason? One time I was celebrating Mass at which a number of Protestants had been invited. And after the closing hymn at the end of Mass, guess who were the only ones left in the church? The Protestant guests, the so-called foreigners. The rest of the parishioners made a beeline for the parking lot. I was embarrassed. I was hurt, not because of my own pride, because I think, do we realize what we are receiving? Do we realize the gift? Could we not stop to give thanks? I think that hurts God as well. Because you see, when it comes down to it, all of us are really like the Samaritan lepers. We have this leprosy of sin, and God cleanses us, but even more, he saves us from our sins. There is no greater gift. And so each and every moment of our lives, we should return to Jesus to offer him thanksgiving. We're called to be a Eucharistic people, a people of thanksgiving and gratitude, of having received so precious a gift that makes others think, what's different about them? I want to be like them so that they too can come to salvation. But you know, the reality is, there's no way we can possibly ever thank the Lord enough for all that he's given us. He's given us everything, and God knows this. And so the Father has given us his very Son to offer back to him in thanksgiving. That is what the Mass does. There is no greater gift. Recognizing Jesus has given us everything, as he speaks to us, this is my body, this is my blood, which will be given up for you. Do this in memory of me.